every instruction on how to get along with. They had that down pretty well. The problem with Colossians is deeper than that. Some people think if you get those two problems, you're pretty well already, huh? You won't get it, you can get along with one another, what else is there? That's the whole thing. No, it's a little deeper than that. Look at chapter 1, 21, please. 21, 22, what a marvelous word of God that come in our lives. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body to death. In order to present you before him, holy and blameless without reproach. If, see in verse 1 saying, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast. I think that's the problem. It isn't that they need to get saved in the worldly sense. It only made governments like the world. Good for the world. And isn't that the instruction of how you belong? How you continue. See, there's the great message of Paul's. How you continue. Now, let me put it in terms of our verse. Look at chapter 2, 6 and 7. As the people receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. There's a message. Walking in him. So walk. As you receive Christ, so walk. I believe that verse presents the only two things you ever need to know. The only two phases of the Christian experience, they're not the only two. Receiving and walk. That's the whole show. That's everything. That's all it is and nothing else. Almost hesitate to separate it. It's almost heresy to take it from God. We need to do it because we need to analyze them. We need to look at them. He said, well, is there any difference between receiving Christ and walking in Christ? Sure, there's some differences. How many times do you have to receive Christ? One time, never to be repeated again. As you receive Christ, so walk in him. How many times do you have to walk in him? One time? How many times? How long? Until we see Jesus Christ face to face. See, there's some differences. As you receive Christ once and for all, so walk in him until you see him face to face. Over and over in the Bible, we'll see this precious combination as so. As so. Some would say, well, I don't know. You know this idea of walking in the Lord? People talk about victory in Christ and the abundant life and enjoying Christ in the middle of all circumstances, being filled to the brim and flowing around all sides all the time. They call it a deeper life, but they don't use it. It's too deep for me. I can't fall in the depths of that. Oh, that's the man. And you see Christ. So we walk in him. The answer is the very principles by which you receive Christ are the identical principles to walk in the Lord. Someone would say, well, I have to wait to get saved. But I can't get that walking under my belt. I have to trust Christ to get saved, but I can't walk. Therefore, I can do this thing, say, the faith of salvation is the faith of victory. You know what I'm saying? The identical way to be saved is all you have to do. Ever. To walk in the Lord. No excuses. I'm walking in the Lord. It's the same. Somebody will stand before God, and I'll stand before God, and don't you give many excuses about not being able to walk. Mother of God, you start walking, tear things around us. She fell down, and is here saying that. Man, I'm not called to walk. I'm not going to try to get up. You are called to walk. As you receive Christ, so walk. The identical way of your very body that you're going to stand before the Lord, if you're saved, your body to testify against you, because it took the same amount of faith to walk into the tree as it did to get saved. Now what I'm saying, I know that it's, and you must test it more. I don't know what you're all going through. You don't know what I'm going through. But I do go through something that no human being will ever know. I'm talking about those deep feelings of God, understanding. All that I need is what you had that first moment you trusted Jesus Christ. And as you receive God so long in Him, how do you say it? As you receive what Christ Jesus the Lord, you will find that prayer in the first house of the New Testament. Not all put together like that. It's the only place that Paul puts it on. You see, how do you say it? He said, I am saved because I receive what? A person. Christ. Jesus. The Lord. That's how you got saved. But when you got saved, you couldn't receive the Bible. Not primarily so. When you got saved, you didn't receive a creed. You didn't receive a doctrinal statement, a theology, a constitution. I think what you received when you got saved. But you got saved, you didn't receive a church, or an assembly, or a group. You got saved. You received a person. Christ Jesus, the Lord. We had time. Maybe we could go in each one of those words. All the ocean folds. Christ. Jesus. The Lord. That's how you got saved. You see? So you walk in Him, in the person. And ain't no other way to walk. That's what it is. You know, some of the things we're going to do for this sin are so offensive. But my natural heart wants to get so far away from them that God constantly brings me back. Oh, it's so simple that sometimes it's unbelievable you're missing. As you receive the person, Christ Jesus, the Lord. So walk in the person. Christ Jesus, the Lord. Let me tie in more directly into what's on my heart. Look at verse 7, please. Having been formerly rooted and now being built up in them and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Now I'm not criticizing verse 7. I better not. This is inspired now. But someone might criticize Paul because did you see what he did in that verse? But with the Bible, when I went to Bible school, Paul would have been rebuked in my Bible school. He mixed his metaphors. You know, you're not supposed to mix your metaphors. He talked about walking. And then he changed it. He talked about being rooted. And then he changed it. He talked about being built up. Foundation, superstructure. And he goes from one man, he comes from a wall, and then he goes to botany, and then he goes over to architecture and construction. You see, you're not supposed to do that unless God does it, then it's okay. And this is where God does. Now I want to tamper with the scriptures, and I don't want to lose the many things God has here. But would it be wrong if I made one metaphor out of it? Would I lose the idea? But I'm losing the figure. I want to set it off on that big one, rooted in Him. And Paul here, the Holy Spirit, talks about walking. How does he use that word? What does it mean to walk in Him? I think he's talking about bearing fruit. You know, I think that's what it means, to walk in or bear fruit. Is it building or not? Look at chapter 1, verse 6 quickly. He's talking about that. It says, which has come to you just as in all the world also is constantly bearing fruit and increasing. And then look at verse 10. So that you might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. I think that really means to walk. I think that's how he's using it, to bear fruit. And then rooted in Him. And what do you mean by build up? Let me change the construction. See, you don't care about hammering down construction. We go over to the plant life. I think he's talking about the river. Being built, river, and Christ. begin to tell you how God has filled my heart. As I began to look, you want to bear fruit. You want to grow. You never learn that apart from being rooted in Him. As we receive Christ, we walk in Him, being rooted in Him. Now, without a matter of pulpits or bonds, but I know a little bit from my study about, I know this much, that the roots are that hidden part that nobody sees. Everybody's looking for the fruit, and they're looking for the blossom, and they're looking for the bud, and they look at them. You don't have, you know what you have up here? Depends on what you have down there. And that hidden part of life that no one ever sees, rooted, family, underground, along, rooted in Him. And that unseen part of your life, what do you mean to be rooted in Christ? I have a friend, a very dear friend of mine, in Newport. His name is Raymond Bell. And he studied to be a horticulturist. And I was very interested in that since God gave me this verse. So I went to his house one day and I said, Say, do you have any good books on roots? I had to do a little research on roots. Because the Bible said I've got to be rooted in Him, and I know everything about roots. So he gave me three textbooks. And I did a little study. I had to go through those technical words. And I did a little study, and I'm telling you, it was so amazing. I would read the Bible, I would read the Bible book. And my soul shouted out. As I began to see how God has designed His creation in order to illustrate Him. As I opened that body book and began to study the roots, the number, the length, and the depth, in one light of that, one of the roots that I had like that, one simple solitary like that, I read this, 13,816,216 roots in a single round. I don't know the count. That doesn't count for roots. How many roots there are on a single round? 14,000,000,000 roots in a single round. That document book said that covers a distance of 6,000 miles from here to California and back. How are your roots? Rooted in Him. People talk about getting down to grassroots. So I'm looking at that. You know how many roots the way the grass has? You say not too many? No. 22. One way to rest. Good. And I'm going to do it. If you got $1 billion and you stood at the cross of Jesus Christ when He died, and you began to spend $1,000 a day from that day to which you had $1,000. How much $1 billion is? 20 billion roots. I could be one of them for my group on me. Almost took my text out of my Bible. Get to the three hotels. And that's what you saw. Listen, that's enough that it does. Let me tell you what's on my heart, and then we'll begin. I'm not qualified to do it. If you begin to give what's on my heart, God's only begun to show me this. Tonight I have to look at the soil. I was so amazed as I studied what the soil does for the plant. And tomorrow morning, if Jesus Christ doesn't come, or if we don't need by the doctrine of any moment that's tomorrow morning I'd like to look at the roots, their function, what do they do? And then tomorrow night, at the fruit. Simple. You see, in the book of Colossians, there were certain things that will threaten to uproot the believer. Four. And they haven't changed. And I'll tell you what I believe. as I see what's happened to so many Christians. They're being uprooted. They've been separated from that soil. And we're going to touch on that tomorrow. But how are you, Lewis? You being uprooted? How long? How many? How deep are your roots? Lord God, give us wisdom as we look into this. I had to wrap my Bible for a minute to tell you a little bit about the soil. I don't know much about plants. I really don't have to turn my brown thumb green many times. If they had a society for the prevention of cruelty to plants, they'd take them away. I don't know much about plants or rural things in the book that I read. I almost thought the man was a Christian, the way he wrote it. Five things the soil does for the roots. That was amazing. The nature of the soil is the essential part of any root. The whole point of the flower and whatever the tree is in the soil. Everything's in the soil. What the plant needs for growth, what the plant needs for development, what the plant needs for fruit, it's all in the soil. Is it good soil? Is it rich in minerals? Does it have enough calcium and magnesium and sodium and potassium? See, that's why they do fertilizers. If you're lacking something in the soil, you've got to compensate for it. That's one of the purpose of a fertilizer. But everything's in the soil. They say the best soil is about 50% pores. It's just air. They call it the soil pores. That's where the water comes and the air comes. You realize if you don't see it, but that ground out there is alive. The biological properties of the soil, the algae and the fungus and a microbial bacteria, that's alive, it's just moving. And that moving in the soil is giving and giving and giving, and that root is taking and taking and taking, and pretty soon the plant begins. That's how it is. You have to close my Bible when I look it over. That's what it's all about. The soil. Now let's get back to the context here. Chapter 2, verse 7. And the planting rooted, and now we will build up in him. In our little allegory, in our metaphor, question. It's right there, verse 7. Question. What's the soil? Rooted? What's the soil? Say it.
Keep up here.
Jesus Christ is the soil. Let me go back and look at my little book. I'm going to read you the titles of the chapters of that book. You ought to get Christopher. You ever get Christopher? You're going to go listen. And I know that's it. You know, we can talk to you. We check that from our view. And I know the root must cling to the soil for personal support. Man. Well, I can take off my hat. Then I look at the root. The root must absorb from the soil for sustenance of life. Right. gather bread on that soil that the other one produced for the benefit of mankind. To give off the aroma and to give the fruit. That's the whole story. Jesus Christ is the soil. I'm going to have that bug my phone hat to stay away from the roots tonight. I'm just trying to stick with this stuff. Fellow, the roots are so generous. Yes, they sort of drill, they don't spin, but they drill it onto the root. Yes, so they don't drink. Well, you know the only responsibility in life? Don't make it complicated. Don't make it hard. You just send out those roots into that adequate soil and drink. And then everybody else, they never run their heads. You sang the song tonight. Not a surge of wind, not a shade of killer, not a blast of rain, thus the Spirit stayed the fungible, hearts are full, cleaning and absorbing and drinking. Oh man, how are you? Listen, this is what it's all about. As we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in that. Taking the air you need and the minerals you need and everything that soil gives. This little old plant. And I think of my little feeble, frail, insignificant insect at all. How I'm such a delicate little plant. And I look at this soil. Rooted in Him. In Christ Jesus. There's a question that's going on in my heart and we'll try to answer it feebly at all. But if I can just get you looking in this direction. Has God provided an adequate soil for you? Has God provided in Jesus Christ all that you need? It's not enough to know Jesus Christ is wonderful. I'm sure you say amen to that. Is He all we need? Is He all sufficient? Have you learned to cling to Him for support? Draw from Him for your nourishment for you. 23 times in this little column, God uses the superlative. All. All the surety and fullness of God that will produce in Jesus Christ. All right, enough of that. Let's begin to look a little bit at the soil. Chapter 1, please. Verse 14 and 15. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's the image of the invisible God. You get that phrase? The image of the invisible God. What does that mean? Not theology. You can get that another time. I'm not after that. What does it mean? The image of the invisible God. At least it means this one. He's not God. Right? It's the image of the invisible God. You know why he's not God? He is God. Jesus is 100% God. Let me ask you this. You are rooted in Him who is God. That's where it starts. How are your roots tonight? Do you have any problems that only God can solve? Good. You're rooted in Him. Do you have any see anything God can do? Jesus can do it because He's 100%. You will still have the very path to be like that God is. Could be better. It's perfect. You're ruling in your head, the ruler of the universe. Chapter 1, verse 16. For in Him, all things were created, both the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by Him and for Him. And you is clearly being held together by Jesus Christ.
But in order, this idea of this flesh and the head of Christ being on the face of the head of the head,
see we know, the Lord Jesus Christ holds it together. You look at the flat
part. That is the way you are, so that his
crews are not good to me. Yeah, but the compartments. We read it in the water, because I was who holds that whole universe.
Yeah.
they are good. You can be no less angry.
So, somebody in the 9th chapter said, in Jesus Christ, you have to serve the Lord, that's all the oxygen, and all the water, and all the metal, that's the power of
and you will do that.
Differently,
in
all the
remedy, in Jesus Christ, your Son. Look at that, the one verse 27.
The little God will be with them, will be with you, all this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ with you, the hope of glory.
But then I meet Christ with you, the hope of glory, to say that in some day in my own hope, for seeing Jesus is born in heaven, is Christ in me right now, present for face to face to face. Yes. But it's better than that. I don't have to wait until then. Let me get it into my picture. What's the glory of an apple tree? What's the glory of a peach tree? What's the glory of a grapevine? What's the glory of a Christian? What's your hope? What's the glory? Christ in you. The hope of truth. The hope of glory. Let me tell some of you. God has given us in His Son all the living. Jesus Christ is your soul. And you're reading Him tomorrow, perhaps. We've got to be great. We want to look at the roots. But we do not have to give it up. The Lord God has given Christ as your adequate son, as my adequate son, the image of the invisible God. He's the first God of all creation, all things have been made fine and full. Visible and invisible, forms and dominions, evident and fine and full, in them all and told together. He's the head of the Bible. The heavenly kingdom, the group of people, as God intended them to be. In all things, He has the preeminence, and you're complete in Him. And what's your hope for glory? That's the hope of life. As we receive Christ Jesus.